We have been spending time this Advent in the Christmas story, in the characters, dwelling on and in and through the characters that bring this story to life. We started out a couple weeks ago with the angels, the heralds of God's good news, who started our story off by coming to the young Mary, saying, "Greetings, favored one, you will have a son and you will name him Jesus." Then last week we spent time with Mary and with Joseph, with the call that was placed on their hearts to serve God, with their response to that call, how they answered when God said, "I have something I need you to do." This week we come to possibly one of my favorite people in the whole story, the innkeeper. We know the Christmas story, of course, having heard it over and over and over since childhood. We've heard this story, we've seen it in TV programs and Christmas plays and children's Christmas programs and storybooks. We've read this story over and over and over again. Mary and Joseph on a long, arduous journey. Mary riding on the donkey, ready to burst with child. They arrive in Bethlehem in the middle of the night. Mary already experiencing intense labor pains, growing ever closer to that moment of birth. Joseph frantically going from inn to inn, knocking on doors, seeing if there's a room available to rent, being turned away time and again, until finally one innkeeper, groggy and half asleep, finds a modicum of compassion in their hearts and says, "There is room for you here," and offers them the barn out back behind the inn where Mary and Joseph usher Jesus into the world, surrounded by cows and sheep and chickens and warm, clean, soft, doesn't smell bad hay. It's a story that we have told and heard countless times. It is a central, integral piece of the Christmas season, and most of it is made up. It's not true. It's been expanded on from its original story. We've added myth and legend to it through our writings, through our storybooks, through erroneous sermons offered year after year. We have molded and shaped the story to our own devices. We have twisted much of what was originally here. Listen to the story again. Listen to its simplicity. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. She gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him, for them in the inn. Where to begin? Notice the lack of urgency in this scripture. When we read this scripture, there is no hurried, frantic pace. When it talks of the journey, the story tells us all went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went with Mary, to whom he was engaged. He went with Mary. There's no frantic, hurried words here, right? He didn't run. He didn't hurry. He didn't rush. They needed to go to Bethlehem, and they went. There's no donkey ever mentioned in any version of the Christmas story. And yet every year I get those Christmas cards with a little silhouette of Mary and Joseph. Mary sitting on the donkey. She's sitting sideways, right, while Joseph leads the donkey. No donkey's ever talked about. The distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem is 97 miles. 97 miles. You can walk that. The average person can walk about 2 to 3 miles an hour over uneven terrain. You can walk 97 miles. If you're in a group, you can probably walk that in 5 to 6 days. Again, no urgency. The story doesn't tell us that Mary's about to burst with child on this journey. but rather simply that she was pregnant, and that while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. While they were there, this makes it seem more like they had arrived in Bethlehem, they'd gotten settled. You have to assume that 2,000 years ago, trying to take a census of the whole world, as the Roman Empire was trying to do, was going to take a minute or two. They were probably in Bethlehem. It took them 5 or 6 days to get there. They probably stayed for a few weeks. And at some point, while they were there, she reached the end of her pregnancy. It was time to have her baby. No middle of the night anxious scramble, but rather, while they were in Bethlehem, it came time. She went into labor. She had her baby. Never mention of a barn, a stable, a cave. None of that is ever brought up. I know we all have our nativity scenes like the one over here. I have one in my house. Has a beautiful creche. That's the building that's in this scene here. It's the building they're standing in front of. A creche is a representation of the barn or the stable. Sometimes it looks like a cave. But there's no mention of that. What's mentioned is the manger. Now, the manger was the feeding trough, but it doesn't say that was in a barn. It doesn't have to be in a barn. Those can be outside. Perhaps there was one just outside the house. Maybe they cleaned it up and brought it in. The baby was wrapped in cloth and laid in the manger, but it doesn't tell us that they were in a barn when they did it. Doesn't tell us there were cows around or sheep or chickens. And then we come to the innkeeper. Without a doubt, one of my favorite characters in the whole story. How many times have I gone and seen the children's Christmas play and the Joseph character comes knocking on the door looking for a room, and whatever child is playing the innkeeper relishes the opportunity to be mean. Do you have room in your inn? No! You know, they always get very into that no. They're very anxious to say, no, there's no room, right? And shut the door, and Joseph and Mary are shut out. The sleepy motel manager awoken in the middle of the night to a knocking Joseph, who finds that small sliver of compassion, offers his barn up, who is never mentioned in the story at all. He doesn't exist. He's not real. We gather, we create this character from the last 10 words of this piece of scripture, because there was no room for them in the inn. That is where we create the innkeeper from, is those 10 words. Because there was no room for them in the inn, we create an entire person and thrust them into the middle of this story, a pivotal character who at the last moment will save the day by saying, there's room for you here. In actuality, when we look at this scripture, the word that's used for inn, that we translate as there was no room for them in the inn, the word we translate is kataluma. And while it is a word that can mean inn, more often than not, especially 2,000 years ago, it was used to describe a guest room in someone's house. Kataluma. As a matter of fact, in other pieces of scripture it's used that way. It's used to describe a guest room. Most notably, towards the end of Jesus' ministry, it's used to describe a guest room that he would stay in. When you insert that definition into this scripture, it changes the story drastically. They wrapped the baby in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the guest room. I went up to Sheraton, Iowa last night to see my family. We were going to have our Christmas at my mom's house. I get up to Sheraton a couple, three, four times a year. My mom still lives, it's the hometown I grew up in, my mom still lives there. She has a big three-bedroom farmhouse and lives by herself. And my brother and his wife and their four kids live in Sheraton, and they have a nice big home with several bedrooms. And whenever I go back to Sheraton, as I did Friday night, I went and stayed at my mom's house. Right? There are two or three motels in my hometown. I've never stayed at any of them. Right? When I go back, I stay with my mom. If my mom's house is full, I stay with my brother. It's what you do. When you go back to your hometown, when you go back to where your family is, you stay with family. Joseph would have done the same thing. Joseph was from Bethlehem. This was where his family had come from. When he went back there, he was going to stay with family. He wasn't looking for a Super 8. He wasn't looking for a Motel 6. He's got family there. He's got cousins. He's got uncles. He's got He's got nephews and nieces. There's somebody he can stay with. And they put him up in their guest room. And this was very common 2,000 years ago when you would travel on the road and you'd come to a relative's home, you were taken in, and they dealt with personal space different than we do, right? When I go to my mom's house, she doesn't cram all of us into one bedroom, right? My wife and I, we get this bedroom. My daughter, she gets this bedroom, right? My sister and her family come, they get that bedroom. She spreads us out. But in Jesus' time, it wouldn't have been uncommon if they were gathering at a relative's house for maybe 10, 12, 14 people to be in the same room and all sleeping together in that room. They wouldn't stay in that room all the time. It's Israel. It's hot. They would go outside. But they would sleep in this room, maybe 10 or 12 of them in there. So when you think of it in that context, Mary and Joseph, they come, they're staying with relatives, they're in this room. There's 12, maybe 14 people in this room sleeping at night. The time comes for Mary to have her baby. Well, she's not going to sit and have her baby in the midst of 14 people in one room where they're all sleeping. That doesn't make any sense. Of course they're going to move out. They're going to go somewhere else. It's kind of a messy affair. It's kind of a noisy affair. She's not going to sit there and do that right there. They're going to go and have the baby. Maybe they went to another room in the house. Maybe they did go out to a stable. It doesn't tell us. Maybe that's where they ended up. Maybe that's why the manger comes into play. Whatever it is, they have the baby. They lay the baby in the manger because there's no room for them in the guest room. So why the innkeeper? Why even fabricate this character and place them into such a central role in the story? Think about it for a moment. The innkeeper is the hero of the story when we tell it. Mary and Joseph searching for a place to be, searching for a place to belong, searching for a place to be welcomed. It is the innkeeper who, even though they are full to the brim, finds that little bit of compassion and says, "Hey, there's room for you here." What is it about this character that we are drawn to? What has cemented their importance so much that we would blithely ignore the actual scripture to manufacture their presence? Maybe it's what they represent. To me, the innkeeper has always represented the kingdom of God in this story. People searching to belong, searching to find a place, searching for space to be, and it's the innkeeper that invites them in. There's room for you here. The innkeeper is the kingdom of God calling all of us that don't fit in, that don't belong, that don't find space readily available in this world for our quirks and our foibles and our sins. Searching for space to be, we find the kingdom of God waiting to say, "I have some space around back in the barn, but you can have it. You can come in from the dark night and be warm and be safe and be loved because there is room for you here." Isn't that what we all want? To be accepted, to be welcomed, to be taken in and cared for, to be loved in the dark night of our existence when we find a world that is cold and unloving, a world that shuts us out. Isn't it the pursuit of a warm, safe space that drives us? Where do I belong in all of this? Where is there space for me? Where do I fit in? Turned away time and again by an uncaring world with a neon no vacancy attitude, suddenly a glimmer of hope appears. There's a little space for you here. Come on in. Isn't that the image of church? Isn't that the image of God's kingdom? There's room for you here, weary traveler. Come on in. This past week, there was a video that I saw on social media. It was a young man. He's about 12 years old, lives in Tennessee, middle school. His mom went to pick him up from school one day, and he was in tears. He was devastated. And she asked him what was going on. He began to describe how he was being bullied at school. And the mother had the presence of mind to turn her phone on and start recording. And this young man, this 12-year-old, starts to describe everyday crap that he has to deal with in his middle school. The kids don't like, his nose is kind of big and kind of flat in the middle, and the kids make fun of his nose. It's a nose you would notice. The kids make fun of his nose, and because his nose is that way, his voice sounds a little congested when he talks, and the kids make fun of his voice. And one day he's sitting in the lunchroom, and a bunch of kids came, he's sitting by himself, of course, and a bunch of kids came up and dumped milk on him, right? And he had to call his mom and just tell her, I spilled my milk, can you bring me clothes? Of course, his mom's like, ah, for crying out loud. She had to leave work because he spilled milk on himself. But he finally comes clean. He says, no, it wasn't me. It was these kids. They poured milk on me. They stuck ham in my pants. Just mean, hateful, ugly stuff. And this young man, he starts to describe what he's going through. And he's describing it to his mom. Tears are streaming down his cheeks. And he's just wondering why. What have I done to deserve this? What condemnation have I brought on myself? Why am I such a horrible person that people would do this to me? I know I'm different. I'm not like everybody else, and that's fine, but why isn't there room for me in this world? He was devastated. He was heartbroken. His mom took that video. She put it on her social media. Her friends and family saw it, and they began to share this young man's story of being bullied. And all of a sudden, it caught fire. It went viral. Over 22 million people shared it in the last week. People began to notice, began to hear this young man's cry. This young man who was saying, where's my place in this world? And people began to reach back out to him. He lives in Tennessee, very, very close to where the University of Tennessee is. So the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Volunteers and a couple of the other players came and took him to lunch this week. They sat with him and they talked to him about football and going to the University of Tennessee. And a couple of the players on the Tennessee Titans, their pro team, reached out, gave him tickets to come to a game, gets to hang out in the locker room with them after the game. Chris Evans, who plays Captain America in my superhero movies I like so much, Chris Evans heard about this young man, reached out and said, how would you like to come out to the premiere of our big Avengers movie that's coming out this spring? People heard this young man crying out, where's my place in this world? And they began to reach out to him and said, hey, there's a little room for you here. A guy in New England heard about it, didn't know this family. But he started a GoFundMe page. That's a website where people can go and donate money. He said, hey, I'd like to raise money to help send this kid to college in a few years. Within a week, he'd collected $60,000 in donations from strangers around the world who heard this young man's story, saw his tears in that video, and said, we can make a place in this world for him. Isn't that the kingdom of God? Isn't that what it's supposed to be like? This young man desperately wanted space, and innkeepers around the world heard him and said, hey, there's room for you here. That's why we create the innkeeper. That's why they've become so pivotal to the story, because this is a kingdom of God moment. The birth of Jesus ushers us into a safe place to be, for the kingdom to dwell, a place where sinners are loved and welcomed and find home. And so we insert this character into the kingdom of God, directly into this narrative. How apropos that the Son of God's first encounter in this world was finding a place to be, and it's the innkeeper that creates that space. We come to the manger during this Advent season as the innkeeper, creating space in this world for people to be loved and cared for, to be welcomed and accepted. We come as the innkeeper that we might be space creators. Come here. There's room for you too. The character may be made up, but the love and the compassion and the grace that this character embodies is the kingdom of God at work. We come to the manger as innkeepers. inviting the next people to come here. There is room for you.